Well, just looking back over this last week, the data mix out of the United States was a mix of strong, and then some signs late in the week that there's some softness, and there has been some softness for a little while. That came through in the non-farm payroll data right at the end of the week. Going back to the stronger data, we had the preliminary reading of Q2 GDP. It came in more strongly than expected. It was up 3% annualized. The market was looking for 2.5% there, and that comes after minus 0.5% in the first quarter. So seemingly that seems as if, you know, the US economy has rebounded. But part of that rebound is coming through from the trade account. And earlier in the week, we had trade data out of the United States. And even though it's, you know, fits and starts in terms of imposing these tariffs, the impact on less imports coming into the United States is very much evident. And so, you know, trade balance figures now, if you went back a few months ago, we were looking at trade deficits in the United States, which were over $130 billion a month. The most recent month is down to $85.9 billion. And that's all largely due to imports falling away. And so that is obviously one of the key contributions in terms of the bounce we saw in Q2 GDP. But also there was some signs that consumer spending is still holding up. So going back to Q1, real consumer spending, which is the mainstay of US economic growth, was running at 0.5% annualized growth in Q1. That lifted to 1.4%. So some of this data is looking, you know, a little bit firmer. And it's that concern, together with, you know, inflation still holding up and the likelihood that inflation will go higher as these tariffs come into effect over coming months, that's keeping the Fed on hold. And so we had the Fed with their meeting, and they left interest rates steady at 4.5%. And, of course, that's a source of annoyance as far as President Trump's concerned. Going into the later part of the week, though, on Friday, we had the non-farm payrolls data came out. And, you know, these, you know, obviously were something of a shock because we had some quite big downward revisions to earlier months. Earlier months had looked quite strong, with non-farm payrolls running at over 140,000 a month. Well, they were revised down to 12 and 14,000. Substantial downward revisions. This always happens usually at the beginning of August, when we tend to get some very big revisions. And the most recent monthly figure, whilst it was better at 73,000, it wasn't as strong as expected. This was like a red rag to a bull to President Trump, who was been suggesting, look, you know, look at just the GDP number. You know, we're really motoring now. This is my policies in action. And his reaction, of course, was to sack the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. An extraordinary act that I don't think, you know, anybody's seen anywhere else, where you get a piece of bad data that's not in line with your thinking. Not only do you poo-poo the data, but on top of that, you sack the person who's the head of the department providing it, shoot the messenger. So, you know, obviously, this is a disturbing development and was unsettling as far as markets concerned. In that data, we also saw the unemployment rate going up from 4.1% to 4.2%. And the only thing that held up pretty well was actually hourly earnings. So wages growth, still pretty strong. In July, it was up 0.3%, and the annual rate was 3.9%, up from 3.8% going back the previous month. Some of the other data that came out was also a bit on the soft side too. So we had July ISM manufacturing PMI came out. That was at 49. It went down to 48, so a little bit of softness running through there. And also the final part of the July Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, it had been up at 61.8. We thought it'd stay at 61.8. It didn't. It came back to 57.7. So, you know, there's a fair bit of data there that wasn't to the president's liking, and certainly goes against what he's been saying, even though he's reinventing that and saying, look, don't data's rubbish. Here's the facts on my Truth Social, and don't believe anything that comes from official statistical agencies. when you're doing those sorts of things, it's not surprising that markets came back. And on top of that, you know, he was getting more angry with the Russians because they're not coming through to peace agreements, and talked about sending two nuclear submarines closer to Russia. In part, that was a reaction to a previous Russian president, Medvedev, who made the threat that America's inviting a turn to war, potentially a nuclear war. And so, you know, that obviously was an unsettling factor too. Moving into the US this week, well, it's going to be relatively quiet on the data front. We will get the ISM non-manufacturing PMI. That'll come out on Tuesday. And if anything, that one probably should be a little bit stronger than the report we saw on the manufacturing side. It was at 50.8 going back a month ago. It's expected to lift to 51.5. We also get, after the GDP, the first reading, second quarter GDP that we got last week, you get some other numbers around that coming out this week. And so later in the week, we'll get second quarter non-farm productivity. If anything, that improved a bit. We're looking at 1.9% there from 1.5% going back the quarter before. And we also get Q2 labor costs. Going back to Q1, labor costs shot up by 6.6% in the quarter. They'll go up again, but probably only by about 1.4%. So, yeah, we've got these pressure points running through the US at the moment where, yes, you had some weaker labor force data. Ostensibly, you know, that should mean that there's a little bit more room for the Fed to maybe think about a rate cut. But the problems are that inflation is actually holding up and threatens to go higher. So all of a sudden, we've got a potential threat of weak U.S. growth ahead together with high inflation. And that's obviously not a comfortable position. Probably will be challenging in terms of the very high valuations we're seeing through US risk assets at the beginning of this month, notwithstanding the fact that we had a really good month going back to July. Moving to China and the data there, some softening back of the purchasing managers' indices there too. These are the forward-looking indicators. July manufacturing purchasing managers' index, the official one, came down to 49.3 from 49.7. The July non-manufacturing purchasing managers index slipped to 50.1 from 50.5. It's still above 50, the expansion contraction marker, but not by much. And then we had the July cakes in manufacturing PMI. That came down from 50.4 to 49.5. We'll get the cakes in non-manufacturing PMI or services sector PMI coming out on Wednesday. That was at 50.6. That's expected to come back to about 50.4. We may get the trade data from China very late this week too. That'll be for July. Going back to June, we haven't got any estimates on those, but in June, exports were up 5.8% year-on-year and imports were up 1.1%. If anything, those figures will be slipping. And towards the weekend, we'll get the latest CPI and producer price index out of China, both looking still very, very soft. So if anything, the CPI, the market thinks that the 0.1% year-on-year increase in the CPI will probably slip to minus 0.1%, and the producer price index was minus 3.6% year-on-year, may improve a little, but still deeply negative, minus 3.2%. Of course, that's indicative of still a lot of excess production in China, which is still a problem as we look ahead. Moving to Australia, last week we had the CPI and the trim mean for Q2, and these brought the inflation rate right down to where the RBA had in its May forecast, even a little bit better perhaps. The Q2 CPI was up 0.7% quarter on quarter, but that brought the annual inflation rate back to 2.1% from 2.4%. The trim mean was a little bit better than expected too, came in at 0.6%. And it was 0.7% the quarter before. As a result of that, the trim mean came down to 2.7 from 2.9. So we've got two quarters in a row now where inflation's been inside the Reserve Bank's target range. it's going to be problematic as we get Q3 and Q4 because, going back last year with all those government initiatives, we had very, very low quarterly CPI results for Q3 and Q4 last year. They were only 0.2%. Remembering this latest one, which was supposed to be good, being 0.7. So if we're hovering around that 0.7 level over the next couple of quarters, we're going to add a full percentage point to the annual CPI rate by the end of the year, which means we push right back up to 3% and a little bit more. So that's the conundrum facing the Reserve Bank. Yes, it's got reason why it can bring the cash rate down at its next meeting, and that's next week. We get on the 11th of August, the next meeting. So it is more likely than not that the RBA is going to cut the cash rate 25 basis points to 3.6% when we get to Tuesday next week. But there's a problem with that, and that is they can't do anything particularly fast beyond that. They've still got to wait for more information, particularly with the uglier inflation readings, which will be sitting out there as we get into the second half of this year. So that's where it's going to be a pretty slow grinding process, getting interest rates down. And they really can't come down too far if we're going to go back up to 3% inflation over the next year. You can't really push down into the low threes very comfortably with the cash rate. So the potential to bring interest rates down is still very much, as the Reserve Bank governor has been stressing, it's going to be slow process getting the cash rate down. Other figures last week too suggests that, if anything, the economy here is lifting a bit. We had June home building approvals. We were expecting a 1.8% lift. We got an 11.9% lift. And this is the other problem the Reserve Bank's facing. Everything to do with housing is picking up at the moment. It's picking up both on the demand side and a little bit on the supply side, but nowhere near enough on the supply side to meet the burgeoning demand. And we're seeing this week in, week out, with the auction clearance rates now all the way around the country and the rises in house prices around Australia. Housing is very much lifting, and that's very much a leading indicator. And we had a coincident indicator, which was much stronger than expected too, with retail sales for the month of June. June retail sales lifted by 1.2% month on month. The market was expecting 0.4, and that comes after a 0.2% lift going back to the month of May. Q2 real retail sales lifted by 0.3% month on month. That was after, actually it was zero initially for that going back to Q1. That's actually been revised upwards to 0.1. So there's some signs that spending in the economy is running rather stronger than expected already. And so this is going to be a pressure point and a difficulty as far as the Reserve Bank is concerned. And then just moving to what's coming out this week, we get things like the ANZ job ad survey. That's been strong of late. It was up 1.8% going back the previous month. We get the Melbourne Institute's inflation gauge for the month of July. That could be interesting. That was up 0.1% going back to June. It'd be interesting to see what that shows for July. We also get the latest trade data for Australia and also personal spending. Personal spending is the new survey which is going to be taking over from Retail Trade Survey. And going back last month, personal spending was much stronger than the retail sales result. If we're stronger than the retail sales result in June, we're going to be 1.4-1.5% for personal spending, household spending for the month of July. And that bodes well for a very strong contribution from household consumption expenditure to Q2 GDP when that comes out in early September. So some signs of relative strength there from that Australian data. Then moving to Europe, and last week we had the July Business and Consumer Confidence Survey. That actually lifted to 95.8 from 94.2, looking firmer. We had preliminary Q2 GDP. It was firmer than expected. They were looking for a flat result. They got 0.1% quarter on quarter for GDP in Europe. And as a result of that, the annual GDP growth rate didn't slide as much as expected. The market was looking for annual GDP growth to slide from 1.5% year-on-year to 1.2%. It dipped, but only to 1.4%, so sort of holding up to some degree. We had a lower-than-expected unemployment rate for the month of June. Markets looking to 6.3% there, came in at 6.2%. And we had slightly higher-than-expected inflation, preliminary inflation for July, where the CPI was up 2%. It was expected to be up 1.9% year-on-year. That held the same as the month before. And also, core CPI was holding at 2.3. So we're getting to the lower limits there of what the ECB can do, remembering that their deposit rate's already down to 2. So they can't really push it much lower whilst you've got inflation, which is now sort of basing, if anything, starting to go up. This week in Europe, we get Centix investor confidence for August. That's expected to improve. That comes out tonight. Expected to lift to 6.2 from 4.5. We get the July services sector PMI comes out. That's expected to hold around 51.2. And we get producer prices and retail sales, both for the month of June, coming out. The producer price index is expected to lift by 0.9%. Energy price has been a bit higher. And June retail sales expects to lift around about 0.4%. So okay-ish data coming through Europe as we go through the course of this week. Other factors which are out there this week, it's going to be worth watching. We're getting into the local productivity conference. At the moment, it's starting to become a matter of factions where different groups are arguing for their own protected turf, and that includes the trade unions and, dare I say, the Business Council of Australia as well. That's often the way with these things. We desperately need productivity change running through Australia. This conference, well, we hope, but it's not looking promising at this stage. So some of those factors as well. And we'll get the tail effect in other markets because from what happened in the US on Friday and some of those disturbing developments. We get used to disturbing developments out of the US these days. But truly, on Friday, that they are ramping up in terms of how disturbing those developments are. When you get the messenger being shot in the statistics agency,